We've all heard the Beatitudes before. We're probably more familiar with the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew. When Luke gives his Beatitudes, the Beatitudes of Jesus, given at a later time in Jesus' ministry, he gives us only four Beatitudes and then also four woes. But what do we mean by blessed, and what do we mean by woe? How do we understand what Jesus' main point is with all of this? It can be challenging. Well, someone who's blessed is someone who has found favor with another, someone who has a strong relationship with another. And when we hear the word woe, it's an urgent warning about some sort of danger or some sort of risk being taken. So that gives us some idea, but we can still be having difficulty understanding. Jesus says that those who are poor are blessed, and they receive the kingdom of God. Does that mean we have to give up all of our money and all of our possessions in order to get to heaven? In the woe that corresponds to it, he says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Again, does that mean we have to be poor to receive heaven? What is this all about? Our fourth beatitude that Jesus gives us reveals to us, or points to, the purpose of these four blessings and these four woes. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Well, who is the Son of Man? The Son of Man is Jesus. And so, this is revealing to us that all of this is about relationship. All of this is about relationship with Jesus. Jesus is saying that those who find themselves being insulted, ridiculed, etc., because of their relationship with him, they are blessed. They find favor with him. They are in a strong relationship with him. And when we look at the corresponding woe, woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Again, it's about relationship. The false prophets, they didn't choose the relationship with God as their primary relationship or the most important thing. Instead, they chose to please other people. So when somebody would ask them, well, what's God's opinion about this? What does God think about this? The false prophets would just tell them what they wanted to hear, not actually what God would say, not actually what he would teach. They were trying to please the people around them. They were trying to be on good terms with them so that they can be paid, so that they can be honored, so that they can be recognized. So if all of this is about relationship, then it helps us to understand the other ones as well. So what do we mean by poor? And why do we say woe to the rich? The poor have a kind of advantage over the wealthy in that they have to, in a way, depend on God because they don't know what they're going to get next. They don't know how they're going to provide for themselves or for their families. But the rich, they, on the other hand, are in some ways at a disadvantage because they might choose their money over God. They might choose the security that they have over their comforts and their wealth over a relationship with God. And that puts them in danger. And so Jesus says, woe, woe to you. It's an urgent warning of a risk or a danger that those who are relying on their money for their security, those who put their wealth over God, are in danger. Because if we're not friends with Jesus here on earth, how can we possibly be friends with him forever in heaven? We need to work on our relationship with Jesus here and now so that it continues after this life into the next. And so it's important for us to reflect from time to time. How are we doing in our relationship with the Lord? Do we pray to him every day? Do we have a conversation? Do we listen? I know sometimes for myself, I struggle in listening in prayer. I like to do all the talking. That way Jesus doesn't have to tell me something I don't want to do. But that's not really healthy relationship, is it? No, we speak, but we also listen. There's an exchange. And so we need to work on our relationship. Sometimes people may be ridiculing the faith. Sometimes people may challenge you about your Catholic faith. How do you respond to that? Do you stand with the Lord? Or do you disavow the church teaching and disavow Christ? Whenever we make a mistake, thankfully, in this relationship, it can be repaired. All we have to do is ask for the forgiveness of the Lord in the confessional. But sometimes it's difficult for us to choose God over others. It's difficult for us to make that choice and to follow through with it. I had fallen away from the faith in middle school, and I came back in college, and I was excited about my relationship with the Lord, and I wanted to bring my college friends with me in this relationship. But they didn't have the same ideas of how that works. They preferred other things. Some of them would rather play video games, or board games, or card games, or something of that nature, rather than spend time with God. And so I found myself in tension. I wanted to be with my friends, but I also wanted to be with the best friend ever, Jesus Christ. So sometimes it's like I had to make a choice. Do I spend time with them playing games? Do I spend time with the Lord in prayer? Do I spend time with the Lord at Mass? Well, I chose my relationship with the Lord. But that had its consequences. My relationship with my friends started to fade away. And that was okay, because the Lord gave me new friends. Friends that shared my passion and desire to grow in the faith. Friends who also had Jesus as their friend. And choosing our Lord over other people and trying to please other people is really in our best interest. Not only for being in heaven, but also receiving some of the joys of that reality here on earth. I know sometimes in prayer, I would speak to the Lord and he would speak back or something during the day, and I'd realize, you know, the Lord really does have a good sense of humor. But it takes time to know someone, to spend time with someone, to recognize what kind of sense of humor do they have, or are they always serious all the time? What kind of personality do they have? Well, we learn that about our Lord by spending time with him. And we have a great opportunity to spend time with our Lord in the little church, which is available 24/7, where our Lord is present in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle. But we don't have to necessarily go to the little church to pray. We can pray to the Lord wherever we are, whatever time of day. But we need to make sure that our Lord is our priority, that that relationship comes first, even if it means being ridiculed or insulted. Our gospel passage said that when that happens, we should rejoice and leap for joy on that day. And we see that that's what the apostles did. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they would go out and they would preach the Lord. They would be beaten. They would be tortured. They would be imprisoned. And what was their response? They were singing the praises of God. Now, okay, the apostles are a lot holier than most of us here. But as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, it becomes easier and easier to choose him. And we're filled more and more with his love, his grace, and his joy. But sometimes we're held back by something. In our gospel passage, our Lord mentioned wealth. He mentioned the rich. They're held back by that. It's a false god. It's something that some people cling to more than their relationship with God. For all of us, we should consider this week, what's one thing that's holding us back? What's one obstacle preventing us from moving forward with our relationship with the Lord? Now, that one is a minimum. That's not a maximum. If you want to go beyond that, you can. But we should at least think of one thing this week that's a hindrance in our relationship with God. And we should start to work on that one thing that we thought of. Let us take this next moment of silence to consider what that one thing might be, so that we can try to rid ourselves of that distraction, that obstacle, preventing that greater relationship with the Lord. Let us think of that as we prepare ourselves to encounter our Lord in the most holy Eucharist.